back. We've got a special interview today with Mike Slive, who has been at the center of, I'm not sure if it's a firestorm, but it's just the annual rite of criticizing the BCS, which always goes on. But Mike, let's talk about the one plus, the idea that you have one more game at least to create a better sense that this is truly the best team in the country.
Well, Nick, if the format was to change in the future, one of the options that is most often talked about is the so-called plus one, where you would determine the teams that play in the national championship game after the round of bowls played on or about January 1. And that's one option that can be considered. Amongst other options that might be considered, and I'm sure will be thought about over the next couple of years. There really only is a couple more years, even in this four-year format, before we need to begin thinking about the future. So that certainly is an option, and it is the one that's most talked about.
What's your favorite thing? Do you believe that there can be more significantly done to create a playoff format, or do you feel like you're pretty close to the way it should be?
Well, I think that we have a situation where we have the health of college football at its best. We have a bit of a controversy on occasion with regard to the 1-2 game. My view is that we ought to explore very carefully other options. But having said that, Nick, the way college football has evolved uniquely over the years through the bowl system and through the regular season, it's going to be very difficult to find any format that doesn't have as many disadvantages as advantages. Now, having said that, I think the question really is for us down the road is the 1-2 game enough? And that's one we'll explore. I don't think there's any sentiment for a full-blown NFL-style playoff because that would change the regular season significantly. For example, Michigan and Ohio State in their first game would have played for seed and not for what they played for. So there's a big difference as to a full-blown playoff. I don't see our presence and chances going that way, but I see some very significant dialogue about something that would possibly expand the 1-2 game.
Talking with Mike Slive. Final question, Mike. In terms of getting back to the fact that this is right during exam time, this 4 or 5 week period between the last so-called regular season game and the bowl games themselves, when you add a couple more weeks, this severely impacts what little chance the athletes do have to actually study and get an education.
Well, that's right. And that's, one of the things is that football's always been a one-semester sport. And, because even the January 8th game occurs before almost all schools start their second semester. Also, most people forget that December is exam month. And in most models, if you had a significant playoff, you would be having to use a good part of the month of December. And there are a lot of other reasons, Nick. That's why people talk about the so-called plus one, because the structure is in place right now, and it would only add one game for two teams.
Well, Mike Slive, we really appreciate what you have done. You've chosen to be in the center of in some ways, a very thankless job. Appreciate the leadership you do. And next time we have you on, let's talk about some of the great things you guys are doing there in the SEC itself.
Thank you, Nick. We'd love to come back.
You got it. Thank you, Mike. That's Mike Slive. In a minute, we're going to have Jarrett Bell joining us from USA Today to talk a little update on the NFL, talk about Chicago, whether Rex Grossman has really taken it to the next level. In fact, here is Jarrett. Jarrett, the hardest-working man in show business in USA Today. How are you?
Pretty good, Nick. How about yourself, buddy?
Hey, listen, I'm enjoying this. As we talked with Len Dawson and Sam Huff yesterday, this is the most topsy-turvy, letdown-oriented season I ever have witnessed in the NFL. And we're talking, I've been involved with the NFL now for 28 years. What about you?
No, you know what? That's a great point, Nick, because I was just saying it. I was on my online chat yesterday, and I made that point, too. It's like every year, we know it's a mad dash and a scramble at the finish, and it's wacky and all that stuff. But this year, it seems to be even wackier than before. And the term I like to use that I'll say I borrowed from some of my colleagues, I don't know who came up with it first, but they say it's a week-to-week league. And it really is. One week you look at it and you say, boy, the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. And then the next week you say, well, I think the Saints got their number. And then the next week it's like, oh, it's something else. And so it's been that way. We've always had a lot of upsets, but this year it just really seems to be tough to get a handle on.
Well, listen, let's start off with Chicago and the sort of yin and yang of Rex Grossman finding some consistency, throwing for 330-something yards on Sunday, but the defense giving up two huge plays right at the end of the game. Suddenly you solve one problem with Chicago, you expose another one.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Lovie Smith, I mean, that's the job of a coach, is to put out one fire after another. And, yeah, Rex Grossman's had solid games, back-to-back games, if you will, and that was a major concern. And you know what? It's still going to be a concern, because once you get to the playoffs, you know how it goes, Nick. Everything tightens up a lot more, including the pressure on players like a quarterback. So I don't think that issue is really going to go away until they go way, way deep into the playoffs. But the defense, you know, they've taken some major hits. And, you know, Tommy Harris, you know, you think of the Bears defense and you know Brian Urlacher's there and you know he's all pro, but he's got a lot of people around him. And Tommy Harris was a huge loss. And then you look at this other defensive tackle, Tank Johnson, who's probably not going to be on the team very much longer with his off-the-field issues. Then you've got Mike Brown, who was a big playmaker safety. He's been out since the middle of the season, and he's gone for the rest of the year. And then the other day, you talk about those big plays. Well, you know, they're missing one of their starting cornerbacks, Nate Vasher. So that would be as big of a concern, I think, for the Chicago Bears right now as Rex Grossman.
Okay, and then let's have the update on the Monday night game, Jared Bell.
Oh, boy.
I mean, once again, here's a team that we couldn't stop anybody in Indianapolis defense, speaking of defenses, then they turned it around. Do you think the addition of a new starting strong side linebacker made a difference?
Oh, you know, you're talking about Rob Morris, and I think, yes. You know, there's a guy who's played. He gives them a little bit more toughness. They still missed a bunch of tackles, and on a couple plays it looked like they were still going to be in trouble. I think until they get Bob Sanders back, it always has that potential to be bad. I just think Bob Sanders is a great player. He's like Blaine Bishop was a few years ago with the Titans and the Oilers, that tough pit bull type of safety. And then, you get players in position. See, the thing is, Nick, last night was the Indianapolis style of game that they're built for. And Tony Kornheiser talked about it and the other guys on Monday Night Football last night. But, I mean, they were right on point with it. It's that, you know, if Indianapolis gets the lead, they're a different team and they're a tougher team to beat when they've got that lead. And, you know, you saw in a couple games this year when, like Tennessee, for example, they fell behind by 14 and they still ran the ball and came back to make up that deficit and won the game. Well, Cincinnati goes in there last night, Nick, and they try to, you know, play out of character, if you will. I was like, when are you going to throw the ball to T.J. Houshmandzadeh? You know, Chad Johnson didn't have a great night, but he didn't get a lot of opportunities when the game was still even. And I just think that Cincinnati really did themselves a disservice by going so conservative, and especially when they got in the red zone, they didn't take shots at the end zone, and that's what you want to try to do to get points on the board that you need to beat Indianapolis.
Okay, well, we want to thank you for joining us. Who's your big pick this week? What do you think is the biggest, most interesting game coming up?
Oh, yeah, the Denver-Cincinnati is the game, I think, of the week, because, you know, both of those teams have had their ups and downs this season, and one of them is going to probably make the playoffs if they can beat the other one on Sunday. Now, the game is in Denver. When Indianapolis went out there a few weeks ago, they threw on Denver's defense and lit them up. And I think that's what Cincinnati has to do to give themselves a chance to win. But, you know, Jay Cutler's the X factor, and because he's shown some really, he's had some pretty good flashes of brilliance in the past couple weeks, even though they lost those first couple games. And if he can have a big game, I think, you know, Denver's going to be heard from too.
Yeah, there is no way anyone could have predicted much in the first week of the season, and here we are 15 weeks later, and there's not much we can predict, certainly for the final eight positions, is there?
Hey, you're talking to a guy who picked the Falcons to go to the Super Bowl, okay? and I've still got a slight bit of hope that could happen. But I mean, and I think the only hope is that the NFC is so weak and wild that if a team gets hot, you can go all the way. And then my other team for the Super Bowl was Indianapolis, and you know they just need to get hot at this point. But I think everybody would say San Diego looks like the best team right now. But hey, you know Marty Schottenheimer and his record in the playoffs, so nothing's
we'll
a given.
We'll have to see.
You got
well, thanks for joining us, Jarrett. My friend, appreciate it.
Okay, bud, take care.
Have a good one. Moving on to a really heartwarming story. The U.S. Army is trying to recognize the best football players in high school in the country, not just on the field but off the field. The U.S. All-American Bowl, the U.S. Army All-American Bowl, is January 6th, San Antonio, Texas. They're going to be giving out the Player of the Year Award, and three of the candidates, Marvin Austin, Joe McKnight, Anthony Davis, are with us right now. We want to thank all of you. Let's first start with Marvin Austin. Let's find out about him and what this means to him. Marvin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, do you feel like a pro yet?
Nah, man, I don't feel like a pro. I just feel like a normal high school football player, just working hard and just honored to be asked to play in this game.
Hey, you're 6'3", 300 pounds, you run a 4.9 40. I went to St. Albans School in Washington, D.C., so my vote is for you just because I'm biased. I'm totally biased, but I'm going for Baloo, buddy.
Yeah, man, you know, I mean, I just worked hard and I worked on my speed. I actually ran a 4.69 this past year or whatever at the combine, but I'm just working hard and I mean, I won a championship this year, so I'm still right high on that, man.
That's awesome. And you got Maryland, North Carolina State, Notre Dame, Penn State, Tennessee, Southern California, Virginia. Who's your pick at this point?
I don't have one right now. I'm still undecided.
Well, tell you what, there's a guy named Pete Carroll who coached me, and he's a pretty good guy to play for. But once again, I am a shameless, biased non-journalist. Thanks for joining us, Marvin. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Now, moving on to Joe McKnight. Congratulations, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Joe, you're from Louisiana. Tell me about your position at running back and what this means to be selected by the U.S. Army.
It means a lot to be selected by the U.S. Army. It just tells me that my hard work paid off.
And you're one of the new generation of high school athletes that have been recruited probably more intensely than ever before. What's it like to get hundreds of letters from colleges?
It feels good to get 100 letters from colleges because it lets me know that they've been looking at my tapes and watching me play.
What do you think is the best thing that you bring to the game with your background? What's your best asset, what you'll bring to whatever, whether it's LSU or back at your home state or USC or Florida? I noticed USC coming in there, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas.
My greatest asset to the game is just making people miss and my vision of the game and my passion for the game.
Tell me, Joe, before we let you go, about education and how difficult is it when so many teams are recruiting you? How do you stay focused on your books?
I mean, education shouldn't be difficult. I mean, you must do the work, so it shouldn't be difficult at all. But while all these letters come to me and the visits getting set up for me, I mean, only thing I just had to stay focused in school and keep striving to achieve my goals.
Well, listen, congratulations. We're really proud of you. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Anthony Davis, who is one more outstanding person selected, one of the three finalists for the Player of the Year, High School Player of the Year, the U.S. All-American Bowl. We'll be right back with Anthony Davis on Head Games Radio and Sirius Satellite.